Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
If you were listening earlier in the show, you might remember we were talking to Liam Galvin, who's a Fine Gael councillor in Abbeyfeel in County Limerick. And Liam was telling us about the dreadful conditions that people have had there because of the snow and the ice and the lack of electricity and water in many places still, although it is improving and we know the crews are doing their best. But we had a lovely message from Noreen Cotter, who's listening to the show from snowy Abbeyfeel thanks to a generator. They've had no power since Saturday. The ESB will cover the cost of dinners, etc., at local hotels for those who still have no power. Abbeyfeel Search and Rescue are trying to facilitate transport for people to access that initiative to get the hot meals. It's been a really hard week, especially for those in isolated areas, says Noreen. But people in our community are incredibly kind. My son had to be in Dublin for an exam on Monday, and a neighbour drove him to the main road by tractor, where someone else gave him a lift to the train. There's still a lot of good in this world. And she ends by saying, Erska, Akela, Awarin, Dinna. And Noreen, thank you very much for getting in touch to tell us that. Now, trying to get and keep someone's attention is becoming more and more difficult in a world that is filled with distractions. So how can we keep our minds focused to avoid attention fragmentation? Well, I'm joined in the studio by GP and mental health specialist Dr. Harry Barry, and from our Limerick studio by Dr. Anne-Marie Craven from the Department of Psychology at the University of Limerick. And lovely to have you both with us, Harry and Anne-Marie. Harry, our attention has never been more under threat, has it?
No. Believe it or not, our attention is now like gold. You know, everybody wants it. You know, all the social media companies want it. All the broadcasting companies want it. Our papers want it. Politicians want it.
It's monetized.
It's monetized now, unfortunately. But in real life, though, for the rest of us, our attention is being completely fragmented. And how many people out there find themselves totally distracted, completely frazzled, and it's the way it presents is that you notice that you're increasingly forgetful, mm-hmm. and you're increasingly stressed out all the time, and you're not recognizing that your attention is being literally fragmented. That's another word for distraction. Attention fragmentation, another word for distraction.
So this is exhausting us. Is that
it's
what you're saying?
It's exhausting us. Mm-hmm. And you, like, what are the consequences of it, I suppose? That's the
right.
key,
well,
isn't
let's,
it?
Let's talk about that. Yeah. Anne-Marie, for you, do you think that we forget how precious our attention is? Like, if you think about when you're scrolling through your phone, do you forget how precious that time is?
I think it's really easy to forget because as we get older, we're more conscious of how important time is, right? So time is so important, and spending that time in a way where at the end of your life, you look back and think, you know, that was time well spent there. I don't have regrets about how I spent it. But nobody ever says, I wish I spent more time scrolling, right? Nobody ever says that. And you can lose so much time doing that. So I think our time is very precious, but also our attention. So I think if we could pay a bit of attention to what we pay attention to, we might be able to shift how we use our attention. And I don't think that will necessarily have a major impact on mental health, for example. But if you make a small change to how you focus your attention, that could be a cumulative change if that's a small change reflected in every day of your life.
So are we saying then, Anne-Marie, that technology is the big offender here?
I think technology is a big offender. And I don't mean to say there's no benefits. Of course there are. But as we move between different windows on a browser, we do that in a way we don't do that with traditional media. So we don't pick up a book and then suddenly discard it and pick up a magazine. But we do shift our attention a lot between different types of technology and between in-person communication and technology. So if you have a book in your handbag or a magazine, that doesn't interrupt coffee with a friend in the same way that notifications on your phone do. So mm-hmm. unfortunately, whether we like to admit it or not, it is a big offender.
So we need to be aware, Harry, don't we, of just how much time we're spending
on
devices?
Yeah, I think we're rightly very bothered about it in relation to our kids, do you know what I mean? And thankfully schools and the government are starting to do something about that. But how many of us, let's ask a few questions here and let's put up the hands if we're guilty of this. But how many of us, for example, are focusing nonstop on the irrelevant notifications we get? How much time do we spend aimlessly scrolling to our social media? How often do we pick up our phone to check something and find ourselves 10 minutes later down a rabbit hole and forgetting Dirty Pop, we started to check out on. Mm-hmm. How much time do you spend in shopping apps, chat rooms? How often are we distracted in conversations? How often in restaurants, for example, when we're all meant to be out talking face to face and having a normal conversation with each other, are we all with heads down, looking at our phones? How often are we distracted by a flow of emails? How often, for example, leaving aside our smartphones, what about the non-stop flow from our 24-hour news channels, from our streaming services? You know, it's like as if everybody is bombarding us from a technological point of view, all wanting our attention.
I think many of us are guilty of falling into that trap, yeah. But surely just being aware of it means you'll do less of it, no?
No.
Right?
No,
okay.
Because it's addictive. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't realise how addictive your phone is. It is designed by the manufacturers and all the social media companies to give you intermittent dopamine hits. People don't realise that. If you got non-stop dopamine hit, you'd lose interest. But if you get a little hit every now and then, it's called an intermittent dopamine hit, and you keep going back. That's the theory behind slot machines, for example, in gambling. Do you know what I mean? That you every now and then get it right. And the whole idea is, oh, that's very interesting. Do you know what I mean? And you're gone. Mm-hmm. But the trouble with that is, you know, I think Anne-Marie put it so well. You know, we only have so much time in a day. And some of that time is like, look at modern life. Modern life is we are running around like lunatics all the time. Do you know what I mean? We're ferrying young couples are really put to the pain of the collar. They're ferrying young children all around the place. They're commuting and they're so the nonstop barrage of that multitasking is also fragmenting our. So if you add in your technology to that.
So we're saying that technology is a big offender, but there are others out there as well, Anne-Marie. And I know you lay a bit of blame at the door of the Open Plan office.
I do, because technology is one part of the puzzle. And of course, it has those advantages as well. But I do think Open Plan offices can have advantages, but also distractions, because there's going to be more interruptions, distractions, noises. I think it's great when these kind of spaces also have quiet spaces that are adjacent that you can use for certain types of work. So for the same reason, working remotely has been amazing for many people, but working in a busy, noisy household, I mean, as many of us had to do for times during COVID, that really fragments our attention that bit more, right? Because there's just more intrusion taking us away from what we're trying to focus on. So I think open plan situations at work are really good for some sort of collaborative work, but you need a quiet space to get certain types of work done. So that might be the reading or writing in my kind of role, that you just need a quiet space where you're not going to be interrupted.
So are you concerned then about fragmented attention? Because I think you said that you don't think it's the biggest offender when it comes to mental health. You said that earlier, but you still think we should address it in some way.
I do. Yeah, I don't think it's the biggest mental health offender, because I think a lot of the big picture causes are really structural rather than individual. And this to some degree is a structural issue, right? Because we're living in a culture where it's become so normal to be switching our attention all the time. But it means that we have developed a habit, I suppose, of moving between different stimuli and focusing our attention in different ways. But when we need to focus on just one thing, it's almost a very rusty habit for us, okay? So if you wanted to sit down and read a book and only a book, right, rather than a piece of news here and switch on and some news there and maybe read a magazine article. If you want to sit down and have time to just engage in one piece of writing that's quite lengthy, if you have had fragmented attention for months on end, that's going to be harder to do. I know as a child I didn't find that difficult to do, but finding the time to do that without interruptions and that being a normal activity for many of us is less than it used to be, and I think that's a little concerning.
You think then, Harry, that it does add into, say, if we're dealing with anxiety or depression or some of these issues, that if you have this problem around fragmented attention,
it is going to add. Like, for example, if we have toxic stress and burnout, like one of the consequences of this constant fragmentation of our is burnout. Mm-hmm. And if I were asked to, what would I see are the main problems that I see? Forgetfulness is number one. And a lot of people think they have early dementia because they're literally going upstairs. They can't remember what they're so, their brain is so frazzled. Secondly, I think it's leading to a lot of unhappiness. because, you know, happiness really requires that we spend time with people face to face. And if we're constantly being bombarded and our attention taken away, unhappiness is there, burnout is there. I think we become more anxious. We become more frustrated with situations. We expect everything to happen now, 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 now. I also feel that we overconsume. Do you know what I mean? Because we are not actually focusing in our attention properly on what we're actually doing, so we overconsume. And one of the worries that we don't talk about is pessimism. And I think we are living in an increasing pessimistic type of world because we're so bombarded with just bad news all the time. And all this stuff is coming through. So our attention is constantly being bombarded by that. Also, I think we forget that cognition is a critical part of our brain. So if we're depressed, the first thing that goes is our cognition. And a great German professor, a friend of mine, used to say that attention is the baseline for cognition. So if you hit your attention, the rest of your cognition is going to be in trouble. Mm-hmm. So it's the first question I'll ask a person who I think is depressed. Is your cognition gone? And if their cognition is gone, you know that person is got a problem.
So let's talk about solutions now and, yes, and how we address this, Harry. So what do you want us to do?
Well, the first thing I would make, here we go, a resolution for 2025. Maybe this the year that you take charge of your phone, not your phone take charge of you. What I mean by that is cut out unnecessary notifications, get your news from a couple of key sources, cease your aimless scrolling. If a parent... work with other parents to try to kind of stop this barrage that our young people are getting on. Agree that all meals and all visits and all outdoor activities are phone free. Limit the use of streaming services. Ban Fitbits. If I had my way, I would ban Fitbits.
And people love them.
Oh, my God. And the number of people that come to me so anxious because their Fitbit
not
is
telling you, their
know, not, oh, my God. And I also think that, you know, if you're caught up as a parent in the whirlwind, then ask yourself one question. Am I barraging my child too much? Is that my poor child actually being ferried to too many things? Do you know what I mean? Are we as a couple being destroyed because we spend all our time running all over the place? Mm-hmm. You know, so
pull back a little bit.
Go back and look at your priorities there and do normal things. I'll finish and let Anne-Marie what she thinks. But I would say try to do things that are good for your brain and your body. Get out into Mother Nature, talk to each other, put away your phones, read, listen to music, do things that actually make your attention focused.
Well, that's a really positive
yes.
way
mm.
to
Absolutely.
Address it, Anne-Marie, and you would agree with that, finding things
agree,
that,
yeah.
that need your full concentration for you to do it.
Exactly, be they swimming, you're not going to have your phone with you there, or someone recently told me they joined a choir and that the choir rehearsal was the only time during the week where they really felt they were fully concentrating on just what was in front of them. And I'd also say for anyone with the technology piece, you don't have to completely quit using technology, but you could go do a search in your email for the word unsubscribe and unsubscribe from everything. Declutter the inbox so at least you'll have fewer messages pinging up for you when you are using your phone.
Yeah, that's a good idea as well. But maybe, you know, on the positive side, make a resolution to find something that
yeah.
needs your attention,
yes.
you know, your full
that
attention.
That you enjoy doing. Maybe a childhood yeah. hobby that you could pick up again, something like that. The tin whistle, everyone.
The
We're
tin
all
whistle,
good there.
The choir.
The choir.
Baking.
Reading, baking. you doing something with your hands, anything, but get that damn machine out of your hands.
Well, there's a good way to finish, Harry. Thank you so much, Harry okay. Barry and Anne-Marie Craven. Good to have you with us.